Chapter 38. Several of the SWAT guys stayed behind, so there was room for Taylor, Lucy, and their combat medic in the helicopter. Once at the hospital, the surgeons whisked Taylor away, in mid-sentence, asking for his laptop, of course, leaving Lucy behind in the ER. "Ma'am, you might want to get yourself checked out," one of the ER nurses told Lucy. Lucy glanced at her, the world suddenly tilting as her ankle totally surrendered. She wobbled and fell against the wall. "Maybe you're right. But first, could I use your phone?" The nurse ignored her request, as Lucy had learned nurses were prone to do, bundling her into a wheelchair, propping her leg up, removing Lucy's shoe, brace, and sock to reveal blood oozing from the top of her foot, not to mention the ankle swollen to almost twice its normal size, leaving indentations from where the brace had constricted it and bruises in various shades of red and purple. Damn, her surgeon was going to be pissed off. Not as much as Nick was once she called him and he came down from the maternity ward. His grin was a match for the one she'd seen the day Megan was born, until he saw her ankle. "It's not as bad as it looks," she said. "I walked in here without my cane." He closed his eyes for a brief moment. She knew that look all too well. His searching for Zen, Lord give me patience, what the hell look. "And you think that was a good idea, ditching your cane?" No way could she have climbed into the dam or gotten across the catwalk with it, but she just looked sheepish and said, "Maybe not." He sighed and sank onto the side of the stretcher. She was waiting for an X-ray of her ankle, but the doctor said he thought it was just a surgical pin working itself loose after the trauma of the night. "Megan delivered June's baby," Nick said. "What? Why?" She jolted upright, jostling her ankle and releasing a new wave of pain. "Is she okay?" "You should have seen her. She was incredible." Lucy hadn't seen Nick beam so proudly since the day Megan was born. Of course she was. "How's June? And the baby?" Sooner or later, she'd have to tell June about Seth. She was glad she was stuck down here. It gave her time to decide exactly what to say. "They're gorgeous. Beautiful." He wove the fingers of his left hand between hers, their wedding rings sliding together. "I cried." Laughter burst free, rattling the narrow stretcher. "Tell me all about it." By the time he'd finished, she wasn't laughing. Not after hearing how June had to kill a man or that Megan was there to see the aftermath. If she had any doubts about her future, about their future, they all evaporated. Walden stuck his head through the privacy curtain.
"You decent? Up for a visitor?"
"Sure, come on in." He pulled the curtain aside and held it for Megan, who bounded in, wearing a set of hospital scrubs and looking much too grown up in them. One had her little girl blossomed into an almost grown woman. Megan rushed over and gave Lucy a hug. "Did you hear? I delivered a baby." "I heard. I'm very proud of you." "Oshiro cried," she said. "So did Walden, but he won't admit it."
"I was up front driving," Walden protested. "You didn't see any tears coming from me."
"Liar."
"That's my story and I'm sticking to it."
"Where's Oshiro?" Lucy asked.
"Won't leave June's side," Walden answered.
Typical overprotective Oshiro. "Have you heard anything about Taylor?"
"He's getting a CAT scan, but the surgeon said there's a good chance they won't have to operate."
Relief washed over Lucy. Ignoring the stupid oxygen monitor that she didn't need, she wrapped her free arm around Megan. "That's good."
"Guess I'll go check on him, see if they've decided."
Walden gave her a nod and left. "I need to talk to you two," Lucy started. "How would you feel if I wasn't an FBI agent?" Nick said nothing. He seemed to understand this was about Megan more than anything. Despite the trauma of the night, or maybe because of it, She was finally talking to Lucy, seemed almost her old self. Lucy didn't want to do anything that might jeopardize that.
I don't want you to quit your job, not because of me, Megan answered.
Not because of you, for you.
For me and Dad and our family.
Lucy held Megan close, her mouth near the top of Megan's dark curls.
I think we need time to heal, a chance for a fresh start.
But what will you do? You're not really good at anything else.
Ouch, out of the mouth of babes.
For starters, I'll be at your next Kempo tournament and all your soccer games, and we can find Graham's secret recipe for that awesome chocolate ganache cake you love and make it for your birthday.
Megan pressed against Lucy's chest, nodded.
I think she'd like that.
I do too.
And you know, Mom, Megan continued, a glint in her eye, you don't need to carry a badge to be a hero.
Smart, smart girl. Lucy kissed the top of Megan's head, just like she used to do when Megan was a baby. She used to inhale that delightful baby scent, as if it were nectar from the gods. Ambrosia that could sustain her as she left her family to face the evil out in the world. But the more she fought, the more evil there was and the less she could protect her family from it. Maybe that wasn't what she should have been focused on all these years. Maybe life was more about standing together than standing behind a defender. Maybe Nick and Megan and her mom never needed her to protect them. Maybe all they needed was Lucy to be with them. Well, she was here now, and nothing was going to tear them apart. Not ever again. Family first, Coletta's voice echoed through her mind. Family always. After she was cleared by the doctors, no new broken bones, and the old ones looked nicely healed, but definitely a new ankle sprain, and she hadn't done the damaged nerves and muscles any favors. Lucy gave her new cane a test drive and made her way up to Taylor's room. He was pale, too pale, but awake and sitting up, working on his laptop.
Hey, boss. They said I have to stay in bed for a few days, but I got to keep my spleen. Never knew I wanted it in the first place, but I figured it might come in handy someday, so that's a good thing, right?
What kind of drugs did they have you on? She asked, pulling up a chair to sit beside him.
Very, very good ones, he grinned up at her. I highly recommend them.
Maybe this wasn't the best time, but she wanted to see June and the baby, then head home with her family. About what happened tonight, at the end.
I know what Seth did, he said, suddenly sober. I know you were trying to protect him. I heard the SWAT guys saying you told them Daddy, and he went over together while Seth was struggling to keep Daddy from shooting us.
She held her breath, waited. Taylor searched her face for a long moment.
I can live with that. Face myself in the mirror.
Thanks.
What I can't live with is that you didn't tell me. You knew he'd killed those men, and you said nothing.
I didn't know. I suspected. No evidence. Just a wild-assed theory. He stared her down. So unlike the usual Taylor. Okay, more than just a theory. But he paid for what he did.
On his terms, that's not justice. If he'd lived, would you have let him get away with it?
He waved his hand at his laptop, swinging the IV tube with it. I've put together most of the pieces. All of those men were threatening June. Daddy paid them to do it. But Seth tortured them, Lucy. Why didn't he come to us instead? Let us handle it. It's our job. Because he was already facing a death sentence. She explained about the mercury poisoning. He thought those men could lead him to Daddy. Not like we'd been able to find the man in all these years. And he knew he was running out of time.
Taylor opened his mouth, but she continued,
I don't condone what he did.
If he hadn't died down there beneath the dam, I would have arrested him myself. He shook his head. No, you wouldn't have. You would have let him see his baby, say goodbye to June, and die on his own terms. She thought about it. Maybe. Probably. But we failed him, Taylor. And it was the only way he could protect his family.
See, that's where you're wrong, because my guys found him.
Who?
Daddy. Your geographical profile, along with my search algorithm, hit the jackpot. His real name was Orrin Imus, and he lived outside of Akron, Ohio. 14 years ago, he was fired from his job as a software engineer and tried to sue the company for wrongful termination, saying the child pornography they found in his company computer was planted there because they wanted to steal his ideas. He lost and had to pay court costs and attorney fees.
$32,000 worth, Lucy filled in the blanks. So he sold June, and when that didn't pay off, he sold the baby girl images. Taylor nodded.
Point is, all we needed was more data and a little time. If Seth had come to us, those five men might still be alive.
She'd seen the police reports of those five men. What they'd found on their computers, and in two cases, they'd also found live victims. Without Seth's intervention, what might have happened to them? Taylor saw her look of doubt.
You're just like him, Lucy. You don't see it, but you are.
I'm no vigilante. Although, there had been times in her career when she'd been tempted. But what cop doing the job she did could say otherwise?
No. But you trust your instincts more than your team. How many times in the past 2 years have you left Walden and me in the dark?
I was trying to protect you. His stare and silence said it all. She pushed to her feet. You're going to be a great squad leader, Taylor.
They'll never let me back in the field again, not after this.
He frowned, then looked up at her.
But I'm okay with that. Does that make me a coward?
No. It makes you the right man for your job. Enjoy it. Catch tons of bad guys. And never forget why you do it. You'll be just fine. She'd almost made it to the door when he called her back.
Lucy, are you going to be okay?
She turned around slowly, using the cane to pivot her weight. God, she felt so old, ancient. I'll be fine. Can still face myself in the mirror.